WTF, we're doing a podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Michelle. This is 50. Welcome to What the 50. Join us on our continued journey to simplify our lives.
We will seek the answers from the experts and offer tips, tools, and techniques to live your life with confidence and joy. Are we ready? Let's go.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Nikki. How are you?
Good. Today we have Min and Parker. Min is a colleague of mine from the coaching world, and so I'm happy to have her here with her son, Parker.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So Parker and Min have a story to tell us.
Yes, I'm dying to hear it.
Because Min, like us, is a boy mom. We all have two boys, but it has been a change or an evolution. I'm not even sure what the right wording is to say. And please, Parker and Min, honestly, to be honest, we're a little nervous because we just don't want to say the wrong thing. And what we are really here to learn and to really understand about your story.
And yeah, I was actually saying to my mom before we got on the call that, I guess to reassure you, it's completely okay to say the wrong thing because everyone does. The important thing is that if someone tells you you're saying the wrong thing, then you make a best effort to correct it. Like saying making a mistake is not a problem.
Okay. We feel better.
Thank you. I feel better. So maybe you guys could just start by telling us your story and how it all evolved. Because for our listeners, and let me make it, Parker is transgender. Is that correct?
Okay. So we could probably start with Min, as you know, as your journey as a mom. How was that for you?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was very pleased when I gave birth to a boy and a girl, thinking that, woohoo, I have, you know, one of each and I'm done. So, but as life would have it, and it is all very good, the whole journey is that at around puberty, Parker discovered, and that's just Parker came to me at that point. Parker might have discovered it sooner and he'll tell his side of the story, but at around 12, Parker realized, and it was around puberty that Parker realized that there was something that's not in alignment with who he is. And so he first came out with saying that he's gay. And so I thought, okay, that's interesting, because I was just thinking, like, this may be a good time for me to talk about sex with Parker, you know, and all that, and bring up that subject. And so I was a little bit surprised, but, you know, we thought that's fine. Let's see how this progresses. Right. And I think Parker had a very difficult middle school years, those teen, you know, early teen years of finding out, who you are and struggling mm-hmm. with friends and peers, and, you know, basically that's the time when they became no longer the baby and then coming out to be more like, you know, finding out who they are and forging this at once. I don't know anyone who didn't have a very difficult middle school years, to be fair. Exactly. It is normal. Yeah. Basically, it's normal for any kid, right, to have these difficult years. And so, we had, Parker had struggles with that, and Parker can tell you more about that. And so for me as a mom was there to just kind of be really open and listen and observe, right? That was my mode of operation during these stages, because for me, I felt like anything that and Parker is also very vocal and communicative, which is really helpful. You know, I think that if I didn't have a kid who was as communicative as Parker, I would not have known how I could support or assist or, you know, figure things out. So Parker told me along the way what's happening to him. And then as he's finding out in himself, he verbalized it. So we were kind of going through the journey together, kind of like, oh, okay, so now you are exploring drawing, being on the gender spectrum, right? So it was first that, and then there was the different name that Parker wanted to adapt in middle school. And that was something that Parker, I think, tried out with friends before he came to us. So we discovered Parker's name at a school play.
Okay.
When, you know, in the program, I saw Parker Diamond. And I thought, oh, this must be a stage name or something that he decided to take on. And so my mother-in-law, I remember sitting next to me to see this play, was Wizard of Oz. And I thought, and she said, what is this Parker Diamond? I said, I don't know. I first time I've heard of this. This is maybe a stage name. So we thought that was how it was. And then
to be fair, that bit was a little bit out of my hands. Like, I was using it with my friends, mostly just because, like, I don't know, you want to try out things, see how they sound, see how comfortable they are for you before going and telling everyone that's what you want to be called. But I was doing that with my friends. I think teachers picked up on it because they heard people calling me it, but I didn't know, like, I didn't make the program. I didn't think that they'd do it and make any, I didn't think they'd write it down anywhere, you know? So.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, it was fine. I kind of like the name Parker, but I just didn't know where it was coming from. So the middle school years, I would say from 12 to about 14, was a little bit kind of topsy-turvy, you know, in terms of like, where are we? Who are you? You know, what are we really dealing with, kind of thing. And then Parker did seek out help with his teachers. And then there was we also went through therapy for a few years to figure all that out, and then Parker wanted to, well, first of all, he wanted to change schools.
In middle school wasn't really related to gender. It was just because of, I thought it might be helpful for my mental state in general. But later on in my life, I did seek out specifically a support group for trans youth, but that was not during middle school. That was during high school.
Okay.
But, so we certainly had mental health support, and we were lucky to be able to find those support. So Parker wanted to change schools for, I thought, reasons that was because the public school was too big and overwhelming. So
it was very, I mean, again, that's not all that much related to gender either. Although, of course, all my life is colored by that even before I knew it. But like, it was just such an overcrowded school. None of the key teachers really, you know, had the capacity to care about any of the students. And so it was just all a bit of a mess. So,
yeah. So then we moved into a private school, which in retrospect, I wish I had not chosen the school, because in that school, there was the dress code for boys and girls.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that was very interesting for Parker, because after the first month or so of wearing a skirt,
like a week or so,
Parker was
not, it didn't last very long.
Was not having any of that. Came to school in khakis and, you know, the boys' uniform, and so they said, "You can talk more about this too."
Well, I mean, I think it wasn't. Like, obviously, there were the two different uniforms, but they didn't enforce them that strictly by gender. It was like you could wear one or the other. Okay. You either went by one set of rules or you went by the other set of rules. And so I just like I got both, and then I ended up I was like, oh, I'll see how I feel on any given day. And then I ended up really only ever wearing the khakis because that was the boys' uniform. But at there's a point later on in my time there, like when I was in 8th grade, so I was like 13 or 14. Was 7th and 8th grade was I was at the school. I would occasionally wear like a beanie because I had long hair at the time, and I would like tuck my hair up into it so to make it look like I had short hair. But apparently, it's against the dress code specifically for boys to wear hats inside the school, which I didn't even know about. Like I was just living my life, honestly, at the time. But apparently, like beyond my knowledge, there was like teacher meetings going on as to whether or not they should enforce the hat rule for me or not, which is really funny to me to think about. Like I was just like. I don't know. I was just living my life wearing what I wanted, but apparently there's a big confusion and hubbub about it in terms of the school about, making a big deal about it.
Now, Parker being
Sorry,
himself.
before you continue, Parker, you just said something that I think is so very powerful. You said you're just living your life. And I think that for us here, one of the things that we talk a lot about on this podcast is about being authentic. And obviously, you knew what you were about, irrespective of what others wanted to think or say. You knew what you were about, and you were saying, you know what, I'm just going to live my life. And I think that is such a very powerful statement to make, something that I think we can all use, we can all repeat, we can all look in the mirror and say just that. And I mean, congrats to you for being so determined about being who you are, whether someone wants to accept it or not. And I think that's a huge lesson. It's a very it sounds like a very simple statement. But for me, it's very powerful.
Thank you. Yeah,
Definitely.
thank you. I mean, part of that, I mean, this is the story of me in high school as well. Part of it is, I don't know, I appreciate being told that it's a confidence thing, but for me as well, I feel like it was a little bit just obliviousness. Like I didn't know that people were judging me, so I didn't like I just didn't really, it's like it was in high school, I didn't really have any outright bullies, but I found out only ever like after the fact that there was always people talking about me behind my back and that kind of thing. But they were never, I don't know. I always, again, I just find this really funny because none of them were, I don't know, brave enough to actually, actually be bullies about it. Like they just were like, would pretend to make fun of me behind my back or harass my friends, which, that's not, I mean, it's not a good thing, but it's funny to me that they, seem to spend so much time caring about the way I was just existing,
Exactly.
and I didn't even
Yes.
know that they were doing it until afterwards because they couldn't say it to my face.
How
Yeah.
are your friends at your when you moved to the new school? How are your friends there? How did you
Make friends,
interact?
yeah.
Yeah. How was the interaction for you?
I didn't know anyone when I moved. So I moved schools twice. I spent 1 year at a public middle school, and I went to And then I moved to the private middle school. I spent 2 years there, and then I moved to a different school for high school. I didn't really, each time I moved schools, I didn't really have any friends there when I got there. But I did, I did make friends. I never had like, I was never like hugely popular. I'd never had huge groups of friends, but like I had my small group, and that worked out for me.
And that's
Yeah, I
important.
think Parker, I have to say one of Parker's traits is that he's very articulate, as you can hear, and confident in the way that he comes across and speaking his points of view. And I think that for a middle schooler and a high schooler is intimidating for other kids. So in a way
Yes.
that kind of helps him in his transition, because then they don't bully him and feel like they are able to talk him down or whatever, because he's got that, air of, I don't give a fuck kind of.
Right. I know who what I'm about type of thing. I love
Yeah,
that.
so I kind of feel good about that, in the sense that, okay, no kid's going to mess with mine,
That's so good.
I was definitely one of those kids in high school who's like mostly friends with my teachers,
Okay, that's okay. So, yeah. Parker, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your story and where it all began for you.
Yeah, well, I wanted to first point out something that my mom said when she was talking earlier, that it was really like, I came to her as I was figuring things out, and we were figuring things out together, because I never really had like a big coming out moment, because I feel like this is, I don't know, important to emphasize, like, I felt comfortable enough to, discuss it before having everything figured out. Because a lot of people, I don't know, the classic story is like you have it figured out all on your own, and then you have to hide it, and then you come out and tell people about it. But like, you know, there's a lot of thinking that happens and a lot of experimenting that happens before, quote unquote, having anything figured out, whether that ever actually happens. I went through, my experience was, I went through a lot of different labels, but like that doesn't really matter that much to me in the end. I feel like my mom said that I first came out to her as gay, and that's because to me at least, gender and sexuality I found are very, 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 very linked to each other. And so I couldn't really, I now identify as bisexual, but that's like, and that I guess is related to my gender in the way that I couldn't accept any sort of attraction to men before I figured out that I was trans, because picturing myself in a relationship with a man mentally put myself in the role of someone's, you know, girlfriend or someone's wife or something like that, and that was the problem. But I couldn't identify that as the problem. I couldn't be freed up to think of a relationship with a man until I figured out that I wasn't a woman, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
So that, like, those two things, like, I couldn't figure out one until I figured out the other. And so, like, I had to come out several times, I guess, although it wasn't really a big moment any time. It was just, like, you know, it was a long process of figuring that out, I think, kind of all through puberty. And for the podcast, I'm 20 now, so...
Okay.
So Parker, that's probably one of the things that you could help us to understand.
Yes, for sure.
Gender identity versus sexual identity.
Yes. Is there any specific question you have about it, or
nothing specific really? We just don't really understand.
Well, I think I understand the difference. It's gender identity means the gender that you identify with, correct?
Yeah.
The sexual identity is it heterosexual versus homosexual? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So explain how that works
really
for you.
You know? Like, yeah. I think something that a lot of people do struggle with figuring out or understanding is, a trans person of any gender can have the same range of presentations and range of, you know, sexual preferences as a cisgender person of any gender, cisgender meaning not transgender. So like, just like, you know, you might have a cisgender man, he can be gay, he can have a feminine presentation if he wants to and still be a man.
Right.
And a transgender man, even though they may have started off at birth being assigned as female, even after transitioning or before transitioning can still, you know, have attraction to men or have feminine presentation and still be a man, because, you know, any man, whether cis or trans, can have any sort of preference or presentation.
Okay.
And that doesn't necessarily have any bearing on what their gender is.
So basically what you're saying, if you're transgender, you can still be heterosexual or homosexual.
Yes.
That's your,
Got that.
Regardless.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it is very confusing for people perhaps of our generation.
Of course.
And beyond and older, having really grown up with just the dual gender kind of role. I mean, identity in our minds. You know, you're either, you know, male or female, and then you can be gay, because that was the envelope that was pushed during our generation. High school, you know, being gay was like something that is so closeted, and coming out was such a big deal. And now it's not so much of a big deal, but the transgender, the sexual gender identity, I think, is the is the envelope now that is more, you know, that's being pushed by in our society now for people to accept, I think.
Right.
So I think hopefully in another generation, actually in Parker's generation, a lot of his friends are like, what's the big deal? And it's no big deal. So I'm happy to hear that.
Of course, of course. Mm-hmm. That makes your mommy's heart feel.
There's more acceptance and tolerance. Course, no. Yeah.
However, that's not the case in our policies, right?
Right.
The political policies that or the climate is right now with so many laws being passed to regulate how transgender people can be, mm-hmm. like medical services for this population.
And again, the laws aren't being made by people in my generation, are they?
Exactly. So you talk about transition. So the transition is actually when you start doing the physical things to actually make the transition. Explain that to us.
There's two aspects of transition. There's social transition and medical transition.
Okay.
I say my social transition began with me choosing a different name. Okay. And then, you know, starting to go by different pronouns. And then I legally changed my name in 2020. And that like was a huge process. Because
which mom had to undergo? Yes, because that was my gift for Parker. I said
thank you.
Before he turned 18, because after he turned 18, that is in his really his responsibility, and he has to initiate all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, if this is going to happen to make things a little bit easier for him, I will do this transition before he turned 18. But the thing is, you know, Parker, maybe you can talk a little bit about that 1 year when we did that, because did you transition your name before you graduate
from I don't remember. I think so.
Yeah.
It was like in spring, the spring right before I was going to graduate, I think. But it is so complicated because so many things have your name on it that you all have to change separately. Okay. Just by getting your name legally changed doesn't automatically change it on your insurance and your birth mm-hmm. certificate and your social security number and your passport. And like each one of those things, there's so many different things that we had to each get separately changed. And the whole process took over a year by far. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult, like applying to colleges because, they all, you know, applications are always like, make sure you put your legal name. And I'm like, okay, yes, my legal name is this, but that's not the name that's on my SATs. So like when you're saying that, like what exactly? Yeah. So, you know, that all worked out. I'm not even going to school in the US. So none of those applications really.
It really is a process. It really is a long process.
Oh yeah, whoa. Definitely.
Yeah,
Parker goes to school in the UK and is really enjoying it and thriving over there from what I hear from your mom. So I love that.
What are you doing at school in the UK, Parker?
I'm studying ecology and conservation at the University of St. Andrews.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
Very good.
Yeah, I just arrived back home after my first year, like last week.
Did you enjoy Parker, the first year being away from home?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
And Parker's part of a band. Adjustment.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, and it really.
Yeah, you can talk a bit more about your band, Parker.
Yeah,
sure. That's. Well, I mean, cool.
To keep that on topic, anyway, the band thing. I mean, I started taking hormone replacement therapy a lot later than I really wanted to because I was very scared of my voice changing because I'm a singer. I'm the singer in the band. The band is called Applaud the Jellyfish. I've always loved singing. When I was like nine, I think you signed me up for the Washington Children's Chorus, and that was kind of my first real, you know, performance opportunity. And, you know, I started doing school theater, a lot, and then some outside of school theater. You know, I had a little band that didn't really go anywhere with some friends in middle school, and it's just always been a big part of my life. And so I was very scared of, my voice changing, and I thought that I might lose my ability to sing, because there's not very much research out there about Because testosterone, which I'm taking, obviously it lowers your voice. A lot, a lot of, people online will say things like, yeah, testosterone ruined my singing voice. Like I can't. But then I realized, especially now, and I got a voice teacher who's also a trans man, which is very, very helpful for me. And through a program called the Voice Lab, which is in Chicago, just recommending that because that's a service that really should be more widespread because it's really not, there's not a lot of it out there. But yeah, what I really learned is, whenever you look up on Reddit or whatever, people answers about, with trans men saying things like, oh yeah, I can't sing. I used to be able to be a great singer, but now I don't. These people, maybe never had any formal training before and didn't have any formal training during their transition and didn't have any formal training after. Testosterone doesn't ruin your singing voice. You just have to continue to learn how to use it. You have a new instrument and you have to work to understand it again. And you can't just like expect if you're just someone who idly sings, and doesn't actually perform to be able to, sing like a performer with a new voice without having used it for very long yet. And also like there was a good year, almost a year, like, 9 months or so where my voice was breaking all over the place. But that's also normal, right? And expecting me to be able to sing perfectly during that time period is just unrealistic. So like I think just I had to be patient and I had to work hard and continue to do exercises throughout that period. But like I now I don't know, I perform a lot more with that band than I ever really had before, with a frequency I never had before. So I'm glad to know that that fear that kept me from starting hormone replacement therapy was in the end pretty unfounded.
Yeah, I'm happy too because when Parker had a beautiful soprano voice when he was younger, and and it helped to have trained formally at the age of 9 when I signed Parker up for this chorus, and I didn't, it was just really something, an activity to do, right? I didn't think that it was going to take on the significance in Parker's life that it did. We as parents always just kind of like sign our children up to various things and then see what sticks, right? And so this kind of stuck, and I'm glad. So then Parker developed this beautiful soprano voice that he went on to sing in musical theaters in school, and just to give an idea of the range of Parker's voice, he was able to sing in The Sound of Music. He was
When I played when I was in The Sound of Music with my high school, I played the Mother Abbess character. Do you know the song Climb
Up
Every
the
Mountain?
mountain.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So we have to really up that range, like
Yeah, and I did a lot of I was also in I went to an Episcopal school, St. Andrew's Episcopal School. And we had chapel every Friday and I was also in the chapel choir. So I was just doing a lot of very high choral music. That was what my voice used to be best suited for.
And so when I was also apprehensive of the hormone and how it would affect the voice, and I just thought, oh, that beautiful voice is gonna, we're gonna lose that voice. And so I asked Parker to record some of his singing, just as
Yeah, and I wanted to do that anyway. I write songs, and play guitar, and I wanted to, before starting hormone replacement therapy, I wanted to get a recording of all my original songs because I wasn't sure if I'd be able to sing them anymore, afterwards. And I, but like now I can. I just sing them in like about an octave down, so it's fine. But like I wasn't sure at the beginning, and so I delayed it for a long time while I recorded those songs. But yeah, I mean, I really don't feel like sometimes there's a bit of a sense of loss for that range because although I do sing a lot now, like my range is a lot smaller. But again, that's normal. Like I'm still, it's expanded a lot in the past several months while I've been in the band and actively using it. Like, I do have to train that back up, but that's something I'm prepared to do. But yeah, like it's just different. It's not any better or worse. Like my singing voice has a different tone to it and it's a different range to it. And like I used to have an incredible head voice range, And sometimes I feel like, oh, that's something I lost. But like most of the time, I look back on it and find it a little bit funny, like because it sounds so different than what I sound like now. So I like show it to friends and be like, wow, look, I used to be a soprano. Like I used to be playing nuns and everything. But now, I mean, the way I look at it more now is that like I've gotten to have both of those extremes in my lifetime, and that's really like a gain more than anything. Like
There you go.
I
That's
still
good. So
enjoy
here's a fun
singing.
fact. Sound of Music is actually my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, really?
Yes, it is. But Min, I have a quick question for you. How was the support with the rest of your family?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think that with my husband, at first he was a little bit doubtful of this journey because he thought that, you know, it may be just a phase
Okay.
that Parker's going through. And, you know, talking to a lot of my, actually, I have a few friends who have children who are transgender as well. And, you know, a lot of them is, you know, their children were not as, did not tell them
Okay, thank you.
as much, you know, did not share with them the journey as much as Parker has with me. So sometimes it was more like a surprise, like they would go off to college and then come back and decided that's who I am. Whereas it might have already started all this time along, all along. And then when they are off to college is when they are able to be themselves, you know, finally, and then decided now I'm an adult, I can decide for myself, you know?
Yeah, and also away from home, there's a lot less pressure because you don't, you know, you can kind of, you're meeting all these new people for the first time and you can choose how you want to be seen in front of them because you're not weighed down by how people have seen you the rest of your life. So that's the place where a lot of it happens.
Yeah, so in our family, I think my husband eventually came on board. He kind of just let me take care of it. And then with Parker's brother, he was away to college for most of the transition period. So he, but for him and his generation too, it was all very, you know, not surprising. So he's all fine. He's like, Parker's Parker, you know, still a pain in my side, but you know, basically. And I think the my side of the family, I think every people had questions when I told them. They were like, oh, so what does that mean exactly? And you know, similar to, you know, the various questions you guys have. And I just had to also always correct the grandparents when they use the wrong pronoun, because you know, I think that Parker's my husband's side of the family, the in-laws, they do use the she pronoun quite
Yeah,
often.
they still misgender me all the time. I mean, like, it's just I would correct them more often, but it's just a bit of a bother, you know?
I do see Parker's face cringing, you know, every time then when we're all together at a dinner table or something, and they refer to Parker as she, and then and I see this face like, you know, and I guess me sometimes I correct them, but yeah, same. It's like, yeah, you try to correct people. I think I feel more comfortable correcting my side of the family a lot
Of
more,
course,
you
of course, of
know,
course.
because yeah. So, but everybody really just are open to Parker
Perfect.
transition. There was never any kind of like judgment,
Good.
or there
Oh,
was a
that's
lot of
most important.
curiosity. Yeah, there was curiosity when because Parker identify as male, but present and express sometimes as female.
That's not how I would put it. Again, like I said earlier, anyone can dress the way they want to. And I find it's funny, like my presentation is a lot more masculine than it used to be, but also just like men's clothing is very, very boring. If I grew up raised with a lot more options in terms of like jewelry or presentation, that's a lot more fun, then I'm not gonna, I don't know, I don't want to give that up just so people can see me as male, you know? Like,
because I do notice the nails, so that's part of your expert.
Yeah, I didn't used to. It's been a long time since I painted my nails. I just thought I might again because a lot more of my friends do at college. But this is a fairly recent thing. But yeah, it's mostly like I like to wear a lot of earrings. Just because I don't know, I got my ears pierced when I was like 7. I have a lot of earrings. I just don't feel like I don't know. I don't feel like I have to necessarily curtail expressing myself in ways that are interesting just so that people can understand my gender presentation more.
Right.
You know?
Again, Parker is very grounded and confident in that identity in that regard. But it throws my mother-in-law
for
a loop. I mean, she's always like, I am confused. Now, what is this? Why is Parker still wearing a skirt? You know?
And well, as my son puts it, he says that society has put a label on what gender clothing should be, where it should be more more, I don't know what the correct word. There should be no labeling, whether it's male or female. I think that's why
you have celebrities now. Thankfully, we see celebrities expressing themselves in cross-gender ways, I guess, if you want to say it that way, like Harry Styles wearing his corsets and, you know, some other, is it Bad Bunny? I don't know.
I'm not very kept up on celebrity culture either.
But, you know, when I see like the Oscars, red carpets or the Grammys, you know, you see them.
People coming in, for sure.
A lot more fluid.
Okay. So to close off now, I think what we would love to hear is from Parker, what support as a parent, if you come across the situations like this, how as parents can we support our children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my mom has been very supportive in terms of, you know, like, I couldn't have done really anything. Like, I've been through several, medical parts of my transition that, like, I needed a lot of support for. She's been very there for me and willing to jump through a lot of hurdles for my sake, which I really, really appreciate. But also, like, you know, it's been a journey as well. Like, there's moments earlier on in my transition where she didn't really understand necessarily what I was going through or what I needed her to do. Because like, I don't know, that was a very emotional time for me as well. Like I couldn't necessarily articulate everything that I was feeling at the time. But I think the most important thing is whether you really, I don't know, understand it at first or not, just like listen to what your child needs and what would make them the happiest. If you do make a mistake or you do something that's accidentally hurtful, like that, just acknowledging that and not doing it again is the best thing you can do. And know that it's not a reflection on your character to have made that mistake. It's just a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the caring thing to do is to, listen and grow, because, you know, no one's going to get it right the first time, but like being able to grow and learn is the most important thing, I think.
I think that's good advice for parenting. Absolutely. Period.
And this is our parenting series. And I think, as you said, you know, any parent, it's important, as you said in the beginning, Min, to be open, to listen, to observe. And I think that, you know, as parents dealing with our children, it's just really, really important to have that mindset.
I think really leading with your heart.
Yeah,
right. Let that be your guide, because it's like, you know, at the end of the day, don't worry about judgment of other people or, you know, making like, let's say your in-laws happy or whatever, the school happy, because, you know, the schools did come to me saying, what's going on with Parker? We had the staff meeting just, you know, with the subject of him wearing his beanie and whether or not we should allow that. And, you know, and of course, you know, as a parent, you can feel like, oh, in a new school, you can feel like, oh, you know, I'm sorry my children are this way, but no, I'm just like, yo, Parker's who he is. And we're just going to ride and see how he expresses himself and be who he is, just allowing him to be, really, just allowing everybody just to be themselves.
As Parker right? said, just to live his life.
Wow. Yes.
And also, I feel like, I don't know, of course, I've never been a parent, so I don't know that perspective on things, but like, I know it's a struggle to let go of maybe some expectations you might have about mm-hmm. what your child is going to be, but everyone's going to grow into their own person, and they're not going to, it's impossible for them to be everything that they are in your, you know, idealized imagination. So that might be sad at some points, but like their personhood and autonomy and identity is more important than living up to whatever expectations.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And I know something, and it's evident today, as mm-hmm. you can see, that Min is very, very proud of you, Parker, and so happy for you. And I'm so happy for the two of you, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And thank you. This has been like illuminating, because
it's been a delight talking to both of you.
Yeah, for sure. And we look forward to the band coming out. And
Actually, the band has put out a new an EP
okay.
with three songs. Okay. So you can download it on Spotify, iTunes, or Amazon Music.
Yeah,
okay.
Apple Music, it's on Spotify. The band is called Applaud the Jellyfish. And so
okay.
The EP is self-titled because we couldn't think of a name for it. And we're also on Bandcamp if you want to like support us by buying it, because Spotify doesn't actually pay its artists really anything at all.
Okay.
So that's at applaudthejellyfish.bandcamp.com. But yeah, that we released at the end of this past semester, but now we have to take a break because we're all in different countries.
Oh, okay.
So we put all of that information.
Right. If you could actually just send me the Bandcamp link so we get it right, that would be great. Perfect.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for you ladies and your time.
Thank you, Parker. And thank you for your time. Enjoy the summer. When do you go back to school? Not till October.
Late August.
Oh, late August. Okay. Nice.
Alrighty.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the 50. Please show your love and encouragement by sharing, subscribing, and leaving a review wherever you're listening.
And don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram. And please join our active Facebook group at What.the50.